All right, it is June 21st, 2021. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast. Delicious. Dan, cheers.
Cheers, man.
Cheers to the black raspberry.
Black ras, man. Black ras.
Oh. I'll be the adult here tonight.
Yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in on this lovely Monday evening in Atlanta, where we have a little bit of a reprieve from the rain until it becomes a sauna again for like the next week. I'm Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley, all the way to the right, and Mr. Dan James in the middle.
How's it going, Tim? Speaking of a sauna and rain, in like 5-6 years when you have to deal with swim meets, it's just awful. Like it rained right beforehand. We went out there, takes forever. There's no breeze. Then it just rains on and off for just ever. And they just keep going. They just delay for an hour, keep going. Ugh. Anyway,
yeah.
Sorry.
No. That's very real world problems you have, Dan. Very real world problems that I'm gonna have to deal with in the coming years, as you said. So that's better advice than just hearing sleep now while you can, or whatever. Yeah, or hearing somebody say, because we're about to have a newborn in a few weeks, and having somebody say, well, you're not gonna be able to watch the TV you want anymore. It's like, because a newborn's gonna be, what are we gonna be watching? Like, what is a newborn gonna be watching for? It's all we're gonna be doing while the baby's sleeping or the baby's being fed. Anyway.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. If you guys are watching us live on YouTube, make sure that you guys hit the subscribe button, the notification bell icon, smash the like button. Let people know that, you know, This is the content they need, just the same way that you guys can consume this content, make it more easily findable. Findable? Is that a right word? Is that a correct word? Is that a real word? I don't know. But anyway, if you guys are not subscribed, like I said, subscribe. If you guys are listening to us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, what have you, subscribe, leave us a review, rating, and we'll read it live on the show. I don't think we have any new reviews on Apple Podcasts.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, it's been a while, guys. It's been a while. We need your help. Start spreading the word.
Content is dead. It's Audible true. Media is dead. We're starting TikTok starting next week.
Yeah, if you don't have a celebrity, just forget it, man.
We're just doing TikTok dances and cameos and what's the other thing where they mash it up, duets or whatever it's called. That's all we're doing now.
Yeah. And what's the other one? Reels. That's the one you waste all your time on.
That's it.
Yeah.
What about Spaces? Well, you got to hate on Spaces.
Is that still a thing?
It just started.
Yeah. No, I know. It seemed like it died as quick as just like Fleets. Like Fleets was like dead before it ever even started. Like it was the worst thing. Like everybody hated the fact that they got introduced. I never saw it because I don't have the Twitter app installed ever. But it doesn't show up. I don't know. I don't see that being talked about anymore. And I don't see Spaces popping up anymore. So I don't know if people still doing Spaces Clubhouse.
Yeah, I see him. Yeah. I see him every now and then.
Yeah. No, we're moving over to OnlyFans and starting our own new platform called OnlyFriends. Mm-hmm. So that'll be coming out soon.
We're doing OnlyFriends and it's all via donations per Cash App. That's what we're doing now.
Is that the thing you were telling me where I just had to take my clothes off all the time?
That's where you'll find the download is Cash App $HB4D.
Yeah. Okay. So we figured, Dan, if
donations in multiples of 69 cents.
Yeah. Dan, we already know that you spend, I don't know, probably 16 hours a day naked. Why not monetize it?
Well, I mean, when you're working from home, you know.
No, exactly. I mean, we have that technology now too. Like, you know how you can remove the background? You can put clothes on yourself while you're on a, like on a meeting, like on a Teams.
Yeah, but I like to have the videos going in the background. You know, you can like take a video of yourself and then play it in the background of your meeting.
And I'm just vomiting on like a Zoom call.
It's like the new Bo Burnham stand-up special. Yeah. A projector projecting you onto you the entire time.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
The Trap Faithful are here tonight, as always. Richard Gordon, Elliot Beaven, Brittany S., Nathan Explosion, making that name known for the past couple. Yeah. I haven't seen Metalocalypse in so long. John Beatty.
Since we've seen you, man.
Yeah. He's watching on Facebook saying, "Let's go Hawks." He's a big basketball fan. A lot of basketball fans popping up out of nowhere. So that's good. Yeah. Yourself included. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm just here for the tweets, man.
Yeah. Just the bants, as it were. We got Michelle joining us too. Guys, yesterday seemed to be a very, very frustrating time for a lot of the Atlanta United faithful. Just, it's very weird. Like right now, I think it's hard for me. Kevin and I were talking about this earlier. It's hard to watch Netherlands and see how much success they're having, how well Frank de Boer is managing that team that has talent and probably has the players that he gets to call up and he gets to implement into that lineup. But it's also sad for me to watch Genie Wijnaldum just light up the Euros and know that he's not going to be a Liverpool player ever again. But knowing good and well, he's getting paid, getting that Middle Eastern oil money into his coffers for the remainder of his career at PSG. But watching that juxtaposed to the two collapses that we've seen the past two times out for Atlanta United, it's tough, right?
Yeah, and then the stat that came up at the end of the game that was something like Atlanta United, when leading in the 75th minute, has lost 12 times, which is the third most in the league. Like, that's not a good stat to have.
Haven't won, right? That's the stat. Haven't won.
Yeah, right.
Not
right.
Lost.
Right.
Might
either
as well.
Way, not yeah. A good fucking stat to have, Dan. Doesn't make it much better.
but I think it's better than losing.
You may not lose the result, but you lose points. I think that's an accurate assessment. Like, you're losing at least 2 points on that.
I mean,
but
those two wins alone are the difference between fourth place and eighth place. And I know it's just a 4-point spread in between those positions, but whenever you're at the end of the season and you're, you know, in a wild card game, for lack of a better term, and just making the playoff line versus being in that third or fourth spot, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Part of me is like, I mean, it's kind of like these are just the things we're going to have to go through. And I'd rather it happens at this end of the season than the end of the season. Like, I know if it's November and 4 points is a difference, obviously you rue those losses. But the situation is, you know, to quote Mama June, it is what it is. And we just got to deal with that and move on from there. I thought we played well for 80 minutes of the game, and then just good grief, just switching off left and right.
The fuck happened, right? Like, this is and it's not even the same collapse that we saw at the Benz against Philly in the first leg of the FCCL, because we played really well, arguably our best 45 minutes, and just had an onslaught, and then we couldn't get past Andre Blake in the first half, and then we just came out and shit the bed for an entire half of that game. This was just, I don't know how, it's not excusable in my opinion.
So the only thing I can say is, at least the second goal, it's just, what do you do there, man?
Nothing.
I mean, you can't do anything there. The first goal is ridiculous. Like, that
should never have happened.
But that second one was incredible. That's going to win goal of the week for sure.
That second goal should have never happened, because I don't know why you take out Franco Ibarra, who I think was playing pretty well throughout the game and would have been covering that space, and you put in a third center back. I've never been a fan And can you guys tell me a single time in the history of Atlanta United, no matter the manager, where we haven't given up a result whenever we've subbed in a center back at the end of the game? I feel like it's always, if I'm thinking about, is it San Jose maybe, whenever we subbed in Miles Robinson? No, Houston or Dallas. A couple of years ago, we subbed in Miles Robinson to shore up the back line.
Dallas.
Absolutely fucking shit the bed. Because I feel like
that was the July 4th game, I think.
Yes. So I think it's so much harder on a manager and on that lineup to put in an extra center back into the game. I feel like tactically to completely change the way that you're playing, like that changes completely the way that you're playing, I feel like.
And the dynamics on the back line. I mean, they're consistently having to second and triple guess themselves because they don't know who's covering who, because they've been in a formation where they know where everybody else is at and who's covering who. And then all of a sudden you throw a third player into that mix and they're making assumptions because they don't know, you know?
No, agree. Like it's so difficult because I don't know. You do have a midweek game. You have to worry about some sort of rotation or I mean, at that point, it's not rotation so much as it's just saving Ibarra's legs. It's what I think Brittany S was saying. She heard he was resting Ibarra. But Alan Franco's not it. And I hate to be that guy, but it's not, like, we've talked about this before, but he is not the solution. And I don't know what he offers the team. And then it just makes it look even worse whenever you put him in and immediately we give up two goals to lose 2 points when we're comfortably ahead in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I mean, the depth was.
Go ahead, Kevin.
No, you go ahead.
All right. To be fair to Alan Franco, I mean, he's played I'm trying to pull up his stats. He's played 110 minutes over 3 games in MLS. I just don't think we know what we have in him yet.
We've seen him start. We've seen him play full halves. We've seen him subbed out at halftime.
Wait, but he's only played in 3 games, and he's only started 1 game, I believe.
One that he was subbed out at half was because of an injury.
Yeah, and I just don't think we've seen enough of him. I don't think he knows where he's in to be playing in the team yet, because Walks has put in such a solid shift and had that awesome relationship with Miles Robinson. I mean, Walks has been playing lights out. I mean, he's kept him out of the lineup, you know, with
this week certainly helped him do that.
Yeah.
Right.
But I thought that I didn't think it was a bad sub at the time. I thought, okay, so Franco can come in. We've got a 2-goal cushion. He can come in. I'm assuming it's going to push Sosa up the field and we can play with more at the back. And like you're saying, sure, at the back, but the second goal, I agree with you, Kev. There's no keeper in the world is going to save that shot. But I feel like we should have closed
down. There should have been some pressure in the midfield.
Before, because that was the second time he'd done it.
Yeah.
It was the second time he was doing a better LGP impression than LGP. Just running up I mean, he ran from like their 18-yard box basically to ours. Almost unopposed, which is unforgivable, but.
And it kind of goes to Michelle's point, which somebody's not stepping to him in the midfield, that she feels like that we really missed Hyndman in midfield. I feel like that was another big storyline throughout this game, was the lack of players in the lineup, whether it's Hyndman out with an injury, Joseph out with COVID, or Barco just non-existent on the field whatsoever, except for in glimpses in the second half. Like, I mean, your big players that you need to make big differences in the game were non-existent, one of which was actually playing. And then, Tim, to your point about Franco not being it, Kubo Torres ain't fucking it, man. Like, that's what's glaringly obvious to me on the front line. Like, if Joseph isn't in and Barco is whatever he is right now, it's Kubo does nothing for me on that front line whatsoever. I mean, he's consistently, every time Kubo plays the ball off on a one-touch pass, he's just playing it into a general space and hoping that somebody gets on the end of it. Like every single time he's playing a long pass, it's nowhere near another player or a teammate. And it's just waiting for somebody to track back and get to it or potentially be in the vicinity of where the ball ends up at.
Yeah. And what happens as soon as Jackson Conway gets into the game, his first touch is a shot on goal and a header in the box.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why has he been sitting on the bench for so long?
Yeah. Cubo Torres, man. So he,
or as
people are saying, his work rate is good. I don't see a work rate with him. I like
his stupid fucking smile drives me up the wall. It's like, you're not playing good enough to be smiling whenever you have a bad play. Stop smiling. Be mad at yourself. Do so better.
On the Eric Lopez, when he got cleaned out by Wagner, I think it was, and it should have, I believe it should have been a penalty, though I didn't see the replays. Kubo's calling for the ball. He's like, Eric, pass me the ball. Yep. So Lopez streams in, beats Wagner, puts a decent cross in, but Torres is like, he runs and then he's like, oh, gets to the center circle. He's like, I'm just jogging around. And he's like, oh, good effort. Fuck you, Kubo.
Yep.
God.
Yep.
There's no, and you know what? Freaking Jackson Conway would have run in there because he'd been running around like his hair on fire, just trying to do something. Exactly. And yeah, I totally agree. I have ever since Kubo played his first game with us, I have yet to see anything. And I am not a fan of his at all.
No, no.
I'm glad he's not on the same pay structure than he was at last year, but true. Yeah. Yeah, Michelle was saying, was Conway partially responsible for their second goal? I think he was supposed to be the guy closing Kolesnis down. But then I think Teoto put out some images on Twitter, and it seems like Moreno was in that area too. I think there was another player that maybe Sosa was close if they'd have gone in and closed him down. Yeah. But yeah, good Lord. When that goal went, I was like, just this feels just kind of par for the course right now.
Yeah, man.
So as we start to get into the game, as to not put it at the back end of the conversation, back end of the hour, positives and negatives from you guys as asked on Twitter. Richard Gordon, unfortunately, only got to see the last 15 minutes or so, but positive walk scored. Negative, still deciding. Kobe Bryant Olivas. Positive, we spent most of the game on the front foot driving attacks while holding Philly at bay. Yeah, we gave up 2 goals at the end, but we were solid for 80-plus minutes. That's a good sign, in my opinion. Negative, Kubone, which is that is Kubone a Torres. Slight against Kubone. How dare you? Kubone Torres ain't going to do it. Just is what it is. Factory Jones at Factory Jones. Positive, we can score without Joseph. Negative, Eric Lopez is not our guy. So this is one that maybe we can spend a minute on. What were you guys' thoughts on Eric Lopez? Because I thought that he had a fairly decent outing. Like, I didn't think he was at the detriment of the front line or chance creation whatsoever. He had a couple of decent opportunities. And one, was it him or Ibarra that got robbed of that PK, in my opinion?
It was Lopez.
That's what I thought. Like, what did you guys think about that?
I didn't get to see I missed the replay maybe, and then they never went back to it because
he never went to VAR whatsoever. Like, he defender got zero ball. The commentators were like, I don't know how he doesn't even go look at VAR here. Like, just nothing. And I don't know how it's not a PK. They were even saying, you know, in the field of play, that's a foul. Why is that not a PK? He doesn't get ball.
We've seen it given multiple times in the Euros. I'm trying to remember what games off the top of my head. There was a game this weekend where the ball got played and then the foot got stamped on in the box after the ball was gone, and they still called a penalty. It just needs to be consistently called, I think. I think that's the main thing. Yeah. I thought Eric Lopez was good. I like what he brings on the field. I feel like he's one of our few guys. I feel like time and time again is being direct. Yeah. Like, I feel like he's trying to get up into the field of play and he's trying to create for people. I don't know. I like him. He's only 19 years old. Like, I think he's only going to get better. I think that's the main thing.
Yeah. That's what you've got to remember with Eric Lopez. He's only 19. And all, I didn't think he was bad. He is looking on the ratings. I'm just looking at Sofa Scores, giving him a 6.5, and Who Scored gave him a 6.1, which does actually make him the lowest rated player outside of substitutes from the starters. But I thought it was good to see glimpses that he was running and trying to make crosses and something work into the box, although somewhat unsuccessfully. But I think he does have a good future. And to write him off now, It's one thing to write off Torres because he's old as dirt and he's not doing anything and hasn't been doing anything for the past, I guess, if you call 2020 a season. But Lopez has got a lot more potential in him. So to say he isn't it, I disagree with.
Yeah.
To each their own, but I wouldn't. I think you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater if you're trying to get rid of Lopez.
Yeah, I'll round out a couple more of these. Tafka, the Prince of Soccer, positive. Brooks Lennon is a fantastic attacking right back for his price point. Negative. Neither of our DPs nor touted players nor system give any sort of tangible production to all of Lennon's key passes as we fell asleep the moment we luck our way into the lead, which I think there is some point to be made there about the past two games, at least this past game, and how Atlanta started their lead, maybe not built on it. I think they had at least one legitimate goal in that game, but obviously the first one being an own goal.
I mean, I don't know. I tend to disagree with that sentiment that own goals are somehow lucky, because you're still putting the ball into a threatening area. And if the defender isn't deflecting that, it's going to hit head. Miles Robinson is going to get it. Own goals usually happen whenever you're playing positively, when you're putting the balls in the right positions. And it's just a matter of a bad deflection, or in the case of like Mats Hummels, a really bad clearance the other day, like that. I don't know. That should, I think there's more positive to gain than that. It's not like a howler from the keeper. Like, it's one thing if the keeper just completely fucks up and the ball goes past him, or if like Robert Green, whenever Clint Dempsey, what is that, World Cup 2006, 2010?
Against England.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was 2006.
That's a lucky goal to me. Yeah.
It's a lucky goal.
But an own goal that happens off of a cross into the box on a corner or on a set piece or something like that, I don't think that's necessarily a lucky situation. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
I feel like it's kind of a similar sentiment as with penalties. You know, people try to discount penalties, but, you know, it's you doing making an attackive, aggressive play into the box, like trying to score a goal, and it's a defender's last-ditch attempt to save it.
Yeah, it was 2010 South Africa. Nathan, explosion is.
I'm not sure it was 2006. Oh, well.
No, because it was England, U.S.
It
Algeria,
was 2010.
Algeria, mm-hmm. USA.
Yanks. England, Slovenia, Algeria. That's Yanks. Right. Easy, yeah. And we didn't make it out of the group.
Yep, that's right. I was like, didn't Slovenia get it out of the? Oh yeah, they won the group. We got second. Yeah, that's right. That's it. Robert Berich, I believe, was on that team. Chicago Fire legend.
And striker, wow.
Robert Berich. I'm pretty sure was on that team. I may be wrong. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. What else we got in here? We got...
Brittany, yes. Can we... Let's talk more... Let's love on Brooks Lennon a little more. Brittany, yes, in the trap saying... Lennon did Lennon got two assists, and he did get two assists. He got the own goal, which was a cross, and then he got the assist from Walker's header. But he's been, Brooks Lennon. So it was interesting to see him and Bello. They were playing. They would go more centrally to try and make up for the loss of Hyman and help Ibarra out and stuff. But Walks was all over the place. You pull up his heat map. It's pretty much everywhere, and he's.
I feel like all of our backs put in a lot. I feel like the back line really won that game. I mean, Miles Robinson gets in a position to take the deflection for the own goal. Walk scores the second goal. They're all over the field, like you're talking about. Miles Robinson has one of the best offensive plays of the game over on the right touchline whenever he splits the two defenders and lays the ball off on the front end. George Bello has a great game. I think, like I said, all across that back line, I think that was what was the difference for Atlanta throughout that game. It wasn't anything that was happening from the midfield forward, in my opinion.
Dude, that run, but I will say that run from Miles Robinson, I'm like, okay, just get rid of it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Oh, he's
like,
still okay. Got it. Okay. But please, okay.
But get rid of it. It's okay. You got past him. Cool. Get rid of it. Like that's the, but the entire time I'm just like, holy shit. Like, he is showing it. So he's made market improvements year over year in different areas. I feel like Like, it started off, he really cemented himself with his 1v1 defending, and then really, you know, as of late, his distribution and now his attacking prowess. It's like weird, but he's showing like his potential and his, I don't know, his ability to learn and grow as a player, especially as young as he is very valuable, because he's proving to be more than just a one-on-one defender.
Well, you're getting some consistency in the back line where it's not just the back. Like the first part of this season, it was just Sosa, right? Like Sosa was our main engine driving that ball into the midfield. You would see it out of walks, or you'd see it out of Miles every now and then. A couple of weeks ago, you saw a lot of really, really great long balls out of Miles where he was just playing the ball up to like laterally across the field or diagonally across the field to Bello and to Lennon on both corners, basically from the back line. Now you're seeing Walks, Miles, and Sosa all getting forward and having the awareness of where the other two are to track back and cover. So whatever a team is shutting down Sosa and making him unable to get up to that midfield position to distribute the ball, the other two are feeling more comfortable and familiar on being able to do so. And that's opening up some other opportunities that weren't there just a few weeks back.
Yeah.
You want to keep going through these real quick, Kevin?
I only really had like one more. Scott McMillan, positive, stayed aggressive against a top team, negative, no killer instinct, cannot put teams away. Oh, and Chiefs coach Steve, positive 92 minutes, negative 93rd minute. See it out. What's the MLS record for draws in a season? To which Chris Levine replied, Chicago in 2014 with 6 wins, 10 losses, and 18 draws.
That's crazy. And then one I wanted to call out, Alex Morrison, positive. Red Bull learned from Barcelona and played that strategy well. Yep. And then negative, Botas is in a bad spot. Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. So it was definitely a two-pit race. And Mercedes, Toto Wolff has to be, he's really got to be kicking himself right now.
Is that all the Formula One you've been tweeting out from the account?
Yeah. If Kevin can tweet basketball, I can tweet Formula One.
Everything's up. The world turned upside down this weekend.
Yeah. The world absolutely turned upside down. My sister, of all people, was like, I watched the U.S. Open. Golf? You watch golf on TV?
Fuck yes.
You watched golf on TV. I was like, who won? She said, John Rahm.
John Rahm. Go ahead, homie. Get it done.
I was like, he didn't get a COVID positive on the 17th hole? Like, he wasn't at the green and just got...
After DeChambeau completely blew up on the back three.
Can't spell DeChambeau without sham. Am I right?
Oh, my God.
Yep. It's really cham, though, right? And C-H-A-M.
Oh boy.
That was a crazy good race for anybody who watches Formula One. That end was pretty fantastic.
It was a pretty loaded sports weekend for Atlanta. I mean, we talked about it earlier. Elliot Beaven mentioning surprise to see Hawks win. I mean, big weekend for Hawks moving on conference finals. Braves had won 3 out of 4 in their series this weekend.
Did they fire Snit yet?
No.
Why not? I think that's when the positives really start rolling in for the Braves, whenever they fire Snicker.
Except for Atlanta United, I guess. I mean, positive is it wasn't a loss, right? Could have been 0 points.
Fuck that. A collapse 2 games in a row in the same exact
fashion. That's my problem. That's what I tweeted, is that one game where you blow a lead is a fluke. Much less two in a row where you've done it being up by multiple goals is a trend and a problem that this team has got to find a way to figure out. I don't know what it is, who it is, how it is, but you cannot do that going down the stretch at the back. To what Dan said earlier, like, that's fine if it's in the first half or first third of the season, but in a couple weeks, we're going to be halfway through the season and we're going to be on the back half. And whenever you start going down the stretch, you can't have those kinds of lapses in games happen whenever that margin between second and 10th place are going to be defined by 1 or 2 games, you know, especially in the East where everything is locked up in a matter of just a couple of points.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just got to look forward. All you can do is just play the situation that you've got in front of you right now. Which, Adeline, the good thing is we are early on in the season. You know, there's plenty of things that can happen. And like you said, we're only 4 points from, what are we? If we had 4 points, that put us on 15. Yeah, it's gets us in eighth.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the whole table.
The problem for me though is like how much of this is MLS and how much of this is Atlanta United, because I feel like, so you were talking about how many games that we've, so we're third in the amount of non-wins that we've had after leading at 75 minutes.
Yeah.
Like how much of that equation is really the like wackiness of MLS and just like, and how much of that is because you're going into those final minutes to point to our flaws, maybe the subs that you're making, like what type of quality loss are you seeing due to salary cap impacts? Like is the quality and the like for like substitutions in this case, it wasn't like for like, this was a tactical substitution, but like how often and how far, like what's the standard deviation in like the difference of talent because of the salary cap, whenever you're bringing these substitutions on at the end of the game, because you know, most substitutions are going to be from the 69th minute probably to the 90th minute, whenever you're wasting time.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
And you got to give some credit to Philly, too. I mean, they stifled Atlanta's ability to counter, and they just took the cards that went with it. I mean, every time Atlanta had a breakaway opportunity where somebody was going to make a turn and – there were numbers forward, whether it was Bedoya or, I mean, I think they took three or four yellows just drawing those technical fouls, basically, where they didn't allow Atlanta to counter the way that they wanted to with numbers going forward. And I think that that made a huge impact in what the game plan that Atlanta has offensively. So
how much, like, is the strategy to beat Atlanta at this point to rope-a-dope us, old school boxing style? Is it just like, let us, in the way that Seattle does to a lot of their opponents, is to just let us just, I don't know, just withstand the onslaught. And then in the last like 15 minutes, you can have your way with us.
It certainly seems that way, but it's different though, because it's not like the team that's given up four games in the last 10 minutes over the past two games, or what did I just say? Two goals in the past two games in the last 10 minutes. It's not like this team is gassed at the end of the game the way it was in the first few matches of the season, where I can make that point that it's rope-a-dope. Now it's just like, okay, what are we maintain 60% possession for the entire game except for the last 10 minutes, and then all of a sudden we give up 70% possession and lay down and do something completely different? Like, that's what's weird to me.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that we have that extra fitness. So like you're saying, Kev, it wasn't fitness that lost us the game. It's those mental lapses that it's got to be. But then I keep on going back to the 2019 Eastern Conference Final against Toronto. I mean, we lost by two golazos. I mean, that... Oh man, what's
Nick DeLeon? It was the equivalent of Glesnes yesterday, right?
Yeah, I mean those things are going to happen. I think it's a coincidence that two have happened, in similar fashion.
If it happens again,
I don't know. Then maybe I think if it happens a third time, then there's some sort of trend going through. But it's good for the team to learn these lessons now. Yeah. I mean, when the you've seen that gif of Barco with his head down and Heinze comes up and pulls his head up.
I love that Barco. Shit, man. That's what
I
you
do
want to
love
see.
That, but I want to see them pissed about
Lee. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I want to see them to be just demoralized because they know now the pain of what these stupid things do.
Right.
And so they can harden themselves and look to do something different. But, you know, you go back to the other one. I mean, the Nashville goals were just weird. Again, I mean, you were just, it was, was it Hani Mukhtar's first goal just came off a weird deflection to tie it up. You know, Seattle, we actually fought back and got an equalizer for that one. I think the sample size is pretty small to make broad assumptions as we are right now, but it's just so frustrating after this to have it happen against Nashville at home, and then to have it happen again at Philadelphia when we've had a really long layoff. And I think just everything, like the frustration from the 2020 season, you know, bringing in hindsight, everyone was real hyped about it, but not because everyone was assuming that we're going to have, you know, hugely attacking soccer again a la Tata Martino, but that wasn't the case. And I feel like this is just, everything's just bubbling up to the surface with a lot of frustration in the fan base. And I think eventually, I think Heinz is going to come good. I think eventually we're going to get our midfield and forwards clicking. Our defense is one of the best in the league. It's, I don't know. There's a lot of people on Twitter who are just feel like they're at, I feel like they are at their limit right now.
Which is so ridiculous. I mean, it's just as ridiculous as the whole FDB out. Like, it's just, no matter who it is, it's, this team is not bad. There's just some fundamentals that need to be resolved. And to your point about like what's happening, to me, what's like, everyone knows the goal rate within, what is it? Like, however, whatever that, I can't remember what the percentage of goals scored after a goal was just scored within the following like 90 seconds, so many goals, or like it's a trend that everyone that knows the game knows that that's when a team's most vulnerable, is right after they scored or right after they conceded. And for this team to, that's what's concerning over the past 2 weeks, is that against Nashville, they scored two goals within 3 minutes. This week it's Philly. They scored their first of their two within a minute after we scored our second. Like, that's when the team needs to be making these heads up plays and really locking down and staying focused, that they're just not, man. Like, especially that second one against Philly, like how Brad doesn't clean that up is beyond me. Granted, he has a great night overall and he has one mistake, and unfortunately it's the one that you can argue costs the team the game, because the second one, no one's going to do anything about, but you can't do that within a minute of a goal getting scored. And you certainly can't do that defensively. You know, you've got to be able to lock that down and play the game, because you're only 6 minutes left in regulation. You know, you can't have that kind of stuff happen. Same thing against Nashville. You're in the final 10 minutes. First one goes in. Okay. Well, let's not let a second one happen. You're telling me 3 minutes later, all of a sudden, like, you've got to be aware of those situations. And I think that's what the team is lacking. It's just like fundamentals that we were talking about a month or two ago, with balls rolling across the floor on the back line and not being able to clear it out. It's like, those are basic things that make the difference between wins and losses. And this team needs to figure those kinds of things out to click with the rest of the stuff that they figured out on a larger scale.
And I think in it, to one of your earlier points, I mean, against Philadelphia, they had 5 red cards against us and just kept fouling. And that's the way that you can beat Atlanta United, is just keep fouling. I mean, we're the most fouled team in the league with 16.4 fouls a game. And the second most team with 14.7 is Cincinnati. Yeah. I mean, that deviation is the largest deviation between two teams when you make your way, entire way down the table.
Well, so, especially whenever there are tactical fouls that are disrupting the way that Atlanta wants to move the ball. Right. Like, it's not just in the run of play and it's LGP doing LGP things, you know?
Right.
Also, how many of those yellow cards has Heinz gotten himself over the past 2 months? I feel like every game he's got another yellow card at this point.
I can't remember who was saying he's going to be the first coach to be suspended for yellow card accumulation. Like, is there a rule for that? Is there a rule about yellow card accumulation for managers?
Yeah, it's...
He's going to get a touchline ban at some point, I would imagine. He's going to, I don't know. If it's anything like EPL, whenever they're just infringing and infringing and infringing, they're going to put him up in the box.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Atlanta United are going to play better or going to get more results easier is if the ref calls yellow cards earlier in the game. So we didn't get a yellow card. Well, we got... Bedoya got one in the 30th minute, but you know, then you're basically 2/3 through the first half and there were a whole bunch of fouls before then that weren't carded. So if you go throw out a yellow early, then chances say that the opposing team that we're playing is probably going to get a guy sent off, and you're going to be more wary about making those last minute technical fouls. I mean, I feel like every time Marino gets the ball and tries to get forward, there's two guys on him and one of them's pulling his arm and he gets a free kick out of it. The same with Barco. If he's not in space, someone's trying to hack him down. Same with Lopez, and the same with Lennon. It's just, it's foul after foul after foul. And, you know, there's been a long conversation of MLS referees aren't protecting the star players in the league. They're just, they're letting them fight. That's why I feel like we do better against non-MLS teams in CONCACAF.
Yeah, and then you deal with, I don't know whether to admire it or to just absolutely hate it, or is there a term for hateful admiration that you have for somebody? Like, is there something in the dictionary that would, because that would,
there's some German word for it.
That would,
yes.
that would be the perfect description of how I feel about Jim Curtin as a manager.
Yeah. I think, God, Vince Vaughn said it best in Anchorman is, I hate you, Ron Burgundy, but damn it, I respect you.
No, respect is a hard, like, that's too
you don't
nice
respect
of a word.
Jim Curtin? I mean,
I mean, when you can, when you can hear him on TV yelling, go down, go down, go down at the end of the match. Like, come on.
Yeah. But I mean, if it's vice versa, you know, you're going to be all about it.
Not to sound virtuous, but like, I don't really like to see, like, I understand, like, Barco gets fouled a lot, but the times where he's making a meal of it, it's like, can we just get
we
on
get
with
it?
It?
Come on, get yeah. up. Yeah.
Yeah. There are a couple of times when you see the guy, like, I think it was either Moreno. I think if he'd have stayed on his feet, he would have, you know, he would have got potentially a through ball pass
Steady
to dove. Someone with a shot.
And he got a yellow card. Yeah. You're talking about, he got simulation against Nashville, right? Was that the match?
Yeah. No, I was talking about this past game.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, Pierce Hicks saying love-hate relationship. That's fair. I mean, you have to prepare. Like, that's one thing. And this is becoming, I think, a pretty enticing rivalry. Like, I really like the tension that comes from playing Philly now. And if for no other reason than the two managers and how much they kind of take pot shots at each other in the media. It definitely makes for good television, and
this season, whenever you play them five times in the season, you know, that makes a huge difference.
And we haven't had one of those. What, we had one match go our way? No, it was 0-0, right? In the
we haven't won any of them. Philly. Yeah,
no. But
last game against Philly,
yeah,
is 1-1.
So, well, that's one positive, right? We drew 2-2 instead of drawing. I would have rather draw 2-2 than win 1-0. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'd rather have.
Wait, what?
I'd rather have the lead and be up 2-0 than just draw 0-0. You know, if it's going to be a draw, at least it's an exciting draw. That's exciting soccer, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. I'd rather draw 2-2. Then win 1-0. No, or win 1-0.
Or
then
win 1-0. Yeah, that's good.
Sorry, Dan. It's just a little like, it's like the ceiling fan, Dan. It's over your head.
It's over my head. Jakey Boston.
No, Chiefs coach Steve saying, say less, Tim. And I would agree because. It is. I'm just echoing the sentiments that people had on Twitter whenever Frank DeBoer was winning games 1-0 or drawing 0-0. It was always, oh, I'd rather lose 4-3 than draw 0-0 because I'd rather not have the points because I don't realize how table structure works. Like, what?
No, I'd rather win because I feel like trophy.
That's not one of the options. That's not one of the options.
That's what defines you a successful team. Because you know what the Saints do every time you, as a Falcons fan, you get into an argument with the Saints, they just say, yeah, but where's your Super Bowl ring? And that shuts it all down because they're right. It's just like when we say to Orlando fans, well, where's your MLS Cup? You don't have one, which shuts it all down because you're right.
They don't shut it down. They have more. They definitely come with more. That never shuts it down with them. They always have something
but
else.
I mean, but you,
the Aztecs, Dan. The Aztecs.
Carl Seggie joining the trap late, fellas. What did I miss? So number one, Taiwan is a country. I don't know if we'll get this video banned for saying that.
I'm definitely not learning Mandarin to issue an apology.
But that ice cream looks so delicious.
You hear about Manuel Noah getting investigated because he wore a rainbow armband? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, why even announce that? Like, who leaked that from the UEFA office? Like, that person should probably be fired. Like, that's absolutely insane. Also, big props and a lot of love to Anton Walks for like just
that's Robinson.
Yeah. Yeah. Walks and the racial abuse that he was getting from one anonymous Instagram or Twitter account. That was
probably just some Russian bot, but it's still,
probably it's so. Yeah. It's fucking disgusting.
And what happened?
Go ahead.
Oh, so he on his Instagram, he posted on Twitter some screenshots of his Instagram, and some asshole just put a whole string of bananas on there, and then his next comment was a string of gorillas.
Yeah.
So
it's hateful.
Such a racist prick. Yeah. I mean, come on, man. I mean,
you're right. Like,
this like high school?
Yeah. Fuck that.
The user handle did kind of lend itself to think that I thought it was a Russian bot or something, like probably just trying to sow, you know, discontent among the population, as they like to do. But also
I'm so torn because that's such a large portion of our views.
Russian bots?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know how to feel right now.
I don't know. He ultimately handled it with class. Like, that's because good. I don't know what, I can't imagine getting that abuse.
No, no. Yeah.
Like, you see it week in, week out with the black players that play in England and for England. Like, that seems to be a, you know, huge trend, whether it's, you know, I joke about, you know, calling Raheem Sterling a snake for whenever he left Liverpool is a very popular sentiment. But the amount of abuse that he sees on a weekly basis is just, I don't know how a person is able to take the field, let alone be as good as he is. Like, Raheem Sterling, with the amount of pressure that he has from the fan base, knowing that they can turn on him, like, with racial abuse, like, on a weekly basis, is like, what the fuck? But to go out there and just, like, bear it and still play with pride for your country, knowing that there are people that feel that way about you, is, I don't know, man, it's really tough. And it's, we don't usually get this heavy on this show, but, like, it's really, and Marcus Rashford is another, Michelle brings Marcus Rashford up, like, on and off the field, that kid, like, I hate Manchester United, but I have nothing but the utmost respect for Marcus Rashford, and seeing the abuse that he gets is, I don't know how somebody lives with themselves being able to hurl abuse like that at somebody. I don't know, man. It's just...
I follow Marcus Rashford on Twitter. I don't follow Sterling. Maybe I should, but... the amount of work that Rashford has done just for the general community in general. I mean, he was putting together food drives for people during the start of the pandemic. I mean, he's going to get it. He's going to get a knighthood at some point in his life. If
he has to, right?
Community service. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. That kid is incredible. Like, I don't know. Just like on a daily basis, I know they're playing professional sports, and at some point that is like you're kind of on a pedestal in terms of you're making millions of dollars to play a game, and I'm not taking anything away from that, but it's still a job at the end of the day, like a very high pressure job. And to have that kind of fear in your mind, on a daily basis is, I don't know, man, it's heavy. I mean, Pierce Hicks says it right. It's like, I love social media, but hate it at the same time. It is absolutely poisonous. And nine times out of 10 I hate it.
Yeah,
that one time, though, is whenever Kevin's just tweeting out gems. So
that's true. That's very true.
Sorry, yeah. I didn't mean for this to take a heavy turn, but I've got nothing but love for Anton Walkes, and I can't tell you how happy I am that he's here permanently, or at least on a permanent contract as opposed to a temp or a loan.
Any last comments about the Philly game before we start to transition into the next couple of games?
No, I think we've done a really amazing job. I don't think you get coverage anywhere else, such in-depth analysis and insightfulness on any other platform.
Well, to that point, Dan, is there a download this week? Have you prepared a write-up? No, we got two opponents this week, and you didn't do anything for either one?
No, I'm just mailing it in, to be honest with you. I mean, I know. So the thing I'll say, I think New York City, I mean, they are, whereas I quickly store, so I can pull up the table, and now I've lost the tab. So NYCFC, they're in seventh, right? They're a decent team. I think we could get a sneaky win against them. They like to attack through the middle. So if there's a way that we can stifle that a team of, I keep losing my windows. Jeez, this is a joke. So if you've got Maxi Morales is obviously, I mean, he's given us fits. Jesus Medina's had a pretty good run of form recently. They play pretty narrow. So, and we like to play expansively wide. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there that we can take on the wings. If we can take him around him, with the way that Bello and Lennon have been playing, I feel like Bello had two opportunities that won Kubo Torres. Passed it to the wrong end, and then Barco just took a dribble. So where Bello had acres of space. So I think there's opportunity there. I could see Bello potentially scoring a goal against them.
Yeah,
but we'll see. I mean,
or Lennon? Because I mean, Lennon's been playing so well. I could see it being on the other side.
Well, I think it could be Bello because Lennon got more of the attention this week. I mean, he's the highest rated player on all the sites. And Bello was a little bit more under the radar because he didn't score as highly. So I think Bello could be the guy who may not get as much as attention as Lennon. And I feel like having them pinch in is kind of gives them a little bit more wiggle room between the opponents, because if you're trying to man mark them and see where they are and pull them out, well, they keep switching positions all the time, which I hope they can still keep it up, because that's an awful lot of effort. But it seems like Brooks Lennon has effort for days. So I think we could potentially get a sneaky little win against New York City.
But do we know?
And they're playing at Red Bull Arena, so we've actually got a decent field to play them on.
Do we know when we get Joseph back?
I do not know that.
And do we know for sure he tested positive for COVID?
I'm not positive.
I saw something on Twitter that he had.
Well, the same thing could be said for Chris Paul, right? Like, there are rumors or people reporting on Twitter that he had COVID, but there's been no actual official news.
It says, this is coming from Dirty South Soccer. Undoubtedly a huge loss that will require some long-term tactical, but in terms of the short term, Heinze will be without star striker Joseph Martinez, whose importance is obvious. Martinez, who has tested positive for COVID-19 in recent days, despite having completed his vaccination in mid-April, will miss at least three Atlanta United games while away at the Copa America in Brazil with the Venezuelan national team. It's so likely he'll miss at least four games and potentially five, all depending on how far Venezuela advances and the player's general fitness level after so much traveling. So yeah. I don't think we're going to see him for these
two Jackson games. Conway time, baby.
Yeah.
I say you start him, man. I seriously do.
He's more threatening. He had more chances in 7 minutes than Kubo did in however many.
Ooh, Pierce Hicks with the hot take right now. Random thought, will probably make more money selling Miles Robinson than Barco.
I could see that happening.
So I hate to burst the bubble there because I do think he's more valuable than Barco is, and I think that he would translate really well. You know, you look at like Matt.
We'll make a higher margin on him. Can we say that?
Yeah, because it's
our overhead so much lower.
Exactly. Our overhead zero.
Exactly.
In terms of if we're talking just transfer fee to transfer fee. But I will say that center backs generally don't sell for a ton of money. He's already 24, right?
He is 24, yep.
Which is relatively old for, I know that sounds really ridiculous to say, but a player that is jumping from MLS to Europe. I mean, if you look at the difference between, I mean, hell, even a player like Tyler Adams, who is younger and he's still, what is it? Was it 2 million? Not even 3 million, I think. $3 million.
Yeah, but that was Red Bull to Red Bull, though. I mean,
oh, that's fair. That is a fair, like, but if you look at like, what was Alphonso Davies? Alphonso Davies,
I think that was pretty low.
It was still less than $20 million. And he's arguably the best left. It pains me to say, he's arguably the best left back in the world. And he's the most valuable left back in the world, and he still left MLS for not so much money. But I don't say that to say that I think that Miles Robinson is not worth more on the trade. Like I hope not, because that would mean that Barco is going to sell for like low single digits. Because I think that Miles Robinson would sell for like $5 to $9 million US. And I think he'd probably go over to, I could see him getting transferred over to a German club. Seeing somebody like Stuttgart with an American coach, you know, bringing him over or something like that. I don't know. But like that says less about Miles Robinson than it does about Barco in that statement, I feel like. And that's, I hope you're wrong. I hope you're wrong. I hope that made sense. I think it did make sense. Yeah, I
can't believe Alphonso Davies only went for 10. What on earth?
He's worth over 100 on transfer market, right?
That's crazy.
I think he's worth over 100 on transfer market. Yeah, he's by far the most valuable left back on transfer market, I believe. Ahead of Andy Robinson.
Says from New York here, if NYCFC plays Atlanta at Yankee Stadium, then NYCFC wins 3-1. If anywhere else, NYCFC wins 2-1. So either way, he's calling for NYCFC, which brings me to my next point. Score predictions. Tim, still without a single point on the board this season. What will you have?
Oh, law of averages. Should I just say a 2-2 draw? Because that seems
okay. Here's the deal: if you correctly call it 2-2 draw and they give up a 2-0 lead, that's 5 points.
Give it to me. That's what I want.
We'll do 6 points because it'll be the total that Atlanta United has given up, having gone 3 draws in a row.
Perfect. I'll take that. I like these prop bets.
Okay, so we're gonna go. You're going 2-2.
Yep. And
if Atlanta gives up the lead for the 2-2, it'll be 6 points.
Does it have to be a 2-0 lead that we give up, or can it be a 2-1 lead?
I'll go 2-1 lead. I'll do that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll take that all day. I think we collapse again.
I'm probably just gonna have to delete my Twitter account if that happens. It's just gonna be madness.
Who's gonna score? You can get a total of 8 points, Tim, if you pull all this correctly.
I think there's one own goal.
And you'll still be losing.
No. No. Marcelino Moreno scores one goal.
Okay.
And then Brooks Lennon gets one.
Okay. All right, Dan, what are you thinking?
Brittany, yes. 2-2 Atlanta United. Man. I go 2-1 Atlanta.
Okay.
And I think Bello gets one. And I think I'm going to go. This is a long shot. Jackson Conway's going to get one.
Wow.
Yeah, baby. I like that.
I'm going to go 1-0 Atlanta. And I'm going to say Lennon.
I think that's a good show.
Moving on to
another prop bet. Hold on. Sorry. Another prop bet for the game. I'm going to set the over under at 1.5 mentions of Brooks Lennon, John Lennon, and him being in the Liverpool Academy.
What?
Have you not noticed that? Like,
no.
Every other match, there's a callback because he played for the Liverpool Academy and his last name's Lennon, and they talk about John. Yeah.
No, I have not noticed that.
You weren't paying that much attention during the ESPN. Yeah. No. It's
because I hate the ESPN broadcasters so much, man. Like, give me Kevin Egan all day.
Oh, God. Absolutely, man.
You know, they're like, out for it. ESPN is very top heavy, I feel like, with their. I love Ian Dark. Like, I've always loved Ian Dark. Everybody else is shit. Like, it is. Alejandro Moreno is by far the worst.
Awful.
You know what's hilarious to me is I tweeted that like 2 weeks ago, and it's still getting like retweets and likes because the people that are watching the Euros, every time that he broadcasts, we start seeing people like, oh, like, because people are searching Twitter, like, I can't be this crazy, right? He's not this bad,
he's
right?
Awful.
He's so bad.
He doesn't even know what he's talking about, which is crazy because he played.
Like whatever he called, oh, it's 1-1 here in the bins after that second goal by Atlanta.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I love Kevin Egan. I really do like him a lot. Yeah, I think he's one of my favorites.
2-2 Atlanta United. And Moadu. Elliot Beaven, 1-1. Oh, yeah, Moadu is great. Michelle, 1-1. Walk scores an own goal. Wow, that's awful. No more score predictions. All right. Moving on to Red Bulls. Thoughts on Red Bulls, Dan? A double dose.
Well,
a second,
I mean,
Dan load. In case they you
lost. They lost Kaku. Obviously, he was not, you know, doing it for him. I wasn't even ready for Red Bulls.
Come on, man.
Two downloads in one night. That's impressive.
I know. And there wasn't really, I mean, much lag time in between, which is impressive in and of itself. You know, most people would have to go at least 30 minutes between downloads, but not this guy. Not here at Home Before Dark.
I keep hearing like Dan is, you know, getting up there in the years. He's got, you know, five kids, six kids.
Taking supplements.
Yeah.
Well, what I've learned, and I
learned that extra shot of insulin tonight.
Quite frankly, I learned this. I learned this at an early age. If you just keep going, you'll be fine, and you can get your second wind easy. You just got to keep going.
Oh man! With that said, our sponsor tonight is not Manscaped.
It's Laffy Taffy.
It's a Laffy Taffy. No, and all jokes aside, we have we finished our stint with Manscaped, and we've made the switch to being personally sponsored through donations. We're not doing any of the Patreon, no paywalls or anything here.
We're just asking people for money.
just straight up asking people for money. Cash App, $ HB, the number 4D. So it's $ HB4D. Any amount of money helps. And honestly, it's all just going towards our dues for website maintenance and weekly downloads, which sometimes will be great and sometimes a letdown. I'm sure.
It was a letdown this week, but
I'm sure it wasn't your first. I'm sure it wasn't your first, and I'm sure it won't be your last, but we're all here for it either way.
That's right. I'm sure Caden Clark will probably score a worldie.
All right. So score predictions without really any information, just a shot in the dark. Tim, what do you got?
Ooh, they just handed Nashville their first loss of the season, right?
They did.
Mm-hmm. It is at home. So we got that going for us. I'm going to go... I'm going 2-2.
Yeah. That's the annoying thing, though, isn't it? Because you think we're going to score a goal at home, but then you're like, it's the freaking Red Bulls.
Yeah. All right. Remember, you really going 2-2, Dan?
No, I'm going 1-1.
Yeah. No, I'm going 2-2. And it's it's a brace from Jackson Conway. Put it in, inject it in my veins.
All right, Conway times 2. Dan, what are you thinking?
1-1.
1-1. Who's scoring?
Caden Clark. And who else do we have?
Clark. I don't care about who they have scoring. Who are we scoring with?
We're going to score with a Marcelino Moreno.
All right. I am going 2-1 New York Red Bulls. Barco scoring the lone goal for Atlanta.
Is there any way that we can convince Leipzig to just to call up Caden Clark early and not have him play against us this weekend? He's going to Leipzig, right? Is he leapfrogging Salzburg? Do you guys know? I could have sworn
I don't know.
I could have sworn he's jumping or leapfrogging Salzburg and going straight to the top club, but I could be wrong. Oh man,
Carl Seggi calling out 5-0 to someone. So he's expecting a blowout one way or the other this weekend. Interesting. Yeah. The league's kind of due for one, right? Like, when was the last time there was a big scoring game? It's been a few weeks now.
Yeah, I don't know. Real Salt Lake put in 3 against Philly, put in 3 against Portland. I'm trying to
see. Colorado put in 3 against Dallas. DC put in 3 against Miami.
Has anybody hit that 4-goal threshold this year? I don't think so.
Galaxy not hit it earlier on? No, I guess Chicharito just got the 3. Nobody else scored in those games.
Yeah, there has not. Nobody's scored more than 3 goals in a game this year. That's interesting. No, I take that back. May 1st, Dallas put in 4 against Portland.
Wow.
And NYCFC, our opponent on Wednesday, they've put in 5. 5-0 against Cincinnati. But that was Cincinnati, so I don't know how you weight that. Like, what is that in actual terms? Like, you're playing against a senior squad? True. So I guess there are only a handful of games that have really gotten out of control. Yeah, Nathan Explosion there to correct me. NYCFC 5-0.
What's been going on with Brenner at Cincinnati? He's supposed to be the next best thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I do not watch FC Cincinnati.
Oh, weird.
All right, boys. Any other thoughts or comments as we wrap this thing up? All right. Well, if you'd like to see more content and not us outside the stadium with the Styrofoam Cup with H before D written on it, please go check out Cash App at $H before D because the next step is us at Mercedes-Benz shaking a coin can. So,
but you know, some people on Twitter are going to love seeing that.
Oh, Michelle said, did anyone see Matthew McConaughey? That was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I think the best comment that I saw was like, it is first time we've seen him with his bongo with clothes on. and I wonder if that was the exact same bongo that he was wearing whenever he got the cops called on him years ago. Austin looks like they have a pretty good, a pretty good atmosphere. We'll see how long it lasts. Hopefully it lasts.
I feel like
Austin has this sort of culture that can make that last.
Well, they've had a huge surge for the city and city growth lately. So, it's a younger city. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
So, you can find us all online in various platforms. You can find us all collectively at Home Before Dark on Twitter and Instagram. That's before spelled B and the number 4. Tim on Instagram. Where can they find you?
At Tim Herb.
Dan on Peloton.
At to the power of Dan.
Find me on Instagram at the architect. That's at @_ARC1TECT. Thank you guys so much for tuning in with us. 2 big games this week. Hopefully we are on the up and up going into next week. We'll see you then. As always, be home before dark.
Give us more money.